And I'm so proud of all of you. The numbers aren't too great today because people are visiting with their moms wherever they are. And I'm proud of that. And the beauty of this film, just magnificent, inspiring. What I want to do today is a couple things. And we don't have much time, and I want you to be able to go home with your mom. So this is going to be fairly brief. My wife warns me not to say that, but I am going to say that. And there are, why don't we have at least two people come up and say something in 2 minutes or less to either thank your mom or tell a little story or testimony about your mom. I'll wait here patiently for you to arrive. Come up on either side, and I'll hand you a mic. Actually, could we turn this one on? Graham, when they come up. Thank you, it's on. Come on up. There's a happy daughter. Go ahead. He'll figure it out. Here you go, honey.
Hi there. I'm coming up so we can make this shorter because people were waiting, right? But I just wanted to say a quick thank you to my mom who is in Hawaii. My name is Lisa, and I've been attending this church now for about 3 months, and I've been so honored and blessed to be here. But I have to say this. When you have a godly parent, you tend to, you know, the Lord always says, you train a child in the way he's good, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And it took me literally 40 years of my life before I was able to reconnect with who God was in my life. And I thank God for those precepts, for her teaching the word to me. And because of that, in the worst points of my life, I was able to reconnect with who God was. And sometimes, mothers, I just want to be able to say this to you, that sometimes when you doubt what your children and you watch the path that they go, if you can actually see who they are and continue to believe in who God is and continue to pray for them, because I have a praying mom. My mom prayed for me. She prays for me every day. She prays for me every night. And this I know without a shadow of the doubt. And as a pastor's wife that she was, and she still is, you know, I always told my mom, God will continue to use you until you're 100 years old because of your willingness to be used by him continuously and on a day-to-day basis. And I just want to say that, you know, when you think that your prayers are unanswered as you watch your children grow up, trust that God knows best. And if you were a good mom through it all, that when your children need God, they will return to him. So I just want to thank the Lord for that.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. Another one? If someone doesn't come up, you're going to have to hear me longer. Perhaps that threat will inspire someone. Come on up, Bill. Yes, sir, anyone you want. Yes, sir.
Well, it's Mother's Day, and for me, it's a very important day because it was my mother that planted the seed of God, the seed of Christ in me from the beginning as a child, and I never forgot that. My mother passed away 35 years ago on Christmas Day when I was very young. She had cancer, and she struggled with the church, and I always thought the church was a big fancy building and a guy in a big hat and gold robes, and she struggled with that. She was divorced, and the church more or less said she wasn't welcome there anymore, so she didn't go to service and struggled with it greatly because she never lost her faith in Christ. and pass that along to me. And I struggled as well with the church, what I thought the church was, until I came here to the King's Chapel. And I found out the church isn't a building. The church is the body of Christ. But because of my mother, I never lost my faith. I knew Christ was there for me to find. And I knew there was nothing more important in my life than my relationship with God and with Christ. It took me a while to find the right place, the right path. That's a whole other story, and we've only got 2 minutes, right? So that'll be another installment, I guess. But I think about my mother all the time, and her faith in Christ is the reason that I'm here today, ultimately, and that has held me close to God and to Christ. And the point being that installing that relationship, planting that seed with your children, it could be 20, 30, 40 years later that the fruit will be harvested, that the seed will grow, but it will happen, and I'm very thankful to my mother for that. She had a pretty difficult life here on earth, but I believe that somewhere else she's doing quite well, so... Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. That was wonderful. All of us, I'm sure, well, not all, but many of us have much to be thankful and grateful for. Bill, similar to your mom, my mother, my father had to travel in his, quote, business, you know, military, and every week, no matter what, I was 9 years old, and I went to church. There was not a doubt, there was not a question, this is what you do, this is an area of spiritual discipline, you will keep your mother company, you're the oldest son. There were just all kinds of unspoken messages. And a lifetime of this, a lifetime of a form of dedication and consecration to an eternal purpose. I didn't understand that. I was just showing up. I was just doing what I was told to do until the time came when I got sick and tired of it. And so I became an atheist because of choices I made, a direction my life went that reflected my passions and my pleasures and my disaffection with the religion, so to speak, or what I perceived it to be, et cetera, et cetera. So by my senior year in high school, I was about to graduate from college. In fact, it was the night that I was leaving for college. And some of you have heard this before, but I think the Holy Spirit is giving a consistent message about moms praying for their children, praying for their children. Those of you that know this, I say to my shame, in my arrogance, in my stubbornness, in my defiance, in my aggression, I come in the house night before I'm leaving, and really that breaking point is when a kid leaves the home either to business or goes away from school. There's something profound that happens at that moment, and only a mother really knows it. She knows it so deeply that nothing is ever going to be the same, and that was true. So I walk in, basically drunk at about 3 a.m. And my mother, and this was not her habit, had stayed up. I think clearly she was emotionally overwrought at the thought of losing a child. And I come in, you know, just kind of with a wave and a, hi, how you doing? And she talked to me for a moment, and she slapped me across the face. And she began to weep. And then she said she was a monster. Well, the fact of the matter was that I was the monster. And I took her in my arms, and I was defiant and tough and hard as nails. And I told her I loved her, but this was without saying any more. I was the strong one. I'm breaking you down. In a sense, I win the game, but I am ashamed of my behavior tonight. In Proverbs 31, we have a very famous passage for women, and it's interesting in the ESV Study Bible, which I think is the best study Bible out there, maybe ever written. The writer of the particular exposition of this passage, you can tell that he's sensitive to something, as if his wife has spoken to him. And in this passage, it's a description of an amazing woman, the virtuous woman, a woman whose value is more than jewels. And the writer of the commentary says, now, some women will get depressed at reading this, feeling all of their shortcomings. They'll sense their brokenness and the impossibility of being like this lady. But that's not what the story is really about. This is the story of grace and empowerment and the Lord working through the life of a woman who sometimes seems to herself and in a sense to her family invisible. And yet she is creating and building something overwhelmingly beautiful and majestic, if only she sees the building being fashioned not with human hands, but by the sculptor who is a mighty God. Now, I want to push you back for a moment to that night where I said goodbye to my mother in such a profoundly self-centered way, stunningly so. And you have here the proverb beginning, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mom, may I substitute my own Greek translation here, that his mom taught him. We don't know who King Lemuel is, but we must note he was a king. Some believe that it is Solomon the wise, the one who had sought the Lord. But the message I will interpret for you, at least by my lights and I think by commentators' life, a king is being spoken to, and I believe that it is God's plan and purpose to make us kings and priests before our God. That's his desire, that's his glory, that we reflect the image of his son Jesus. And then you'll see this question being posed by a mom. I want to translate this first line, "What are you doing, my son?" More like what we say today, "What were you thinking, my son? What were you thinking?" And let me continue. "What are you doing, son of my womb?" Speaking of intimacy and of painful sacrifice, the pain of bringing life into the world that is profound and yet so valuable. And then, "What are you doing, son of my vows? Before you even came into the world, while you were in my womb, I wept over you, I prayed for you, I hoped for you. What are you doing, Bill? What are you doing, John or Jan or whoever you are out here?" And then an instruction, an immediate follow-up. And if you know Solomon's life, and I won't have time to do that, and I don't want to, but there is a warning from a mom that we as men need to take extremely seriously. "What are you doing? What are you thinking?" And think of me carousing, drunk, coming home to my mother who had given everything for me. Two bouts of cancer, late nights, early mornings, everything. And this is what she has built and accomplished, a drunken son coming home from a night of carousing. This is what it appears is the shack of her work, the outer dwelling in a place of beauty. This boy lives in a doghouse. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. A plan to be a king, a path to destruction. The overabundance of contact with women who are made in the very image of God in inappropriate ways. Who says? Who says we believe in revelation? We believe that God has spoken. We believe there is goodness and light and love in his word transmitted to us through these writers and through moms. The hand that rocks the cradle continues to rule the world. And if there is hope for America and our world, it will be the transposition of the mighty power of God to the loving hands of a mom who caresses that child and hopes for them and believes in them in spite of all evidence to the contrary. Don't give your strength to women, son. Your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings. It's not for you, son. O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all that are afflicted. Wine, excessive use of alcohol, is a diminishing factor in the life of human beings. We as Christians do not inveigh against the drinking of alcohol, not much. Islam is the teetotaling religion, not Christianity. But to abuse alcohol is to abuse yourself, and it is to diminish a king to the role of a slave. One night, a boy came home. Let us look at him as a man first. He would be in the company of the great and the near great. And everyone would drink at the party, and he would be there with a drink in his hand. But those who observed him very carefully, because he had become a great man, observed that he only nursed the drink, as they say, only touches of the fluid. Yes, he drank, but it was always in moderation. Because at the age of 11 years old, he came home in a deep snow, and he saw the man that he loved, the man that he admired, slidden back in the position of a crucifix in deep snow, barely breathing, eyes to the sky, but body dead to all conscious knowledge of this man, this beloved father of this child. And the child's memory was filled with the idea that this man had not only imbibed to excess, but had given over his life to passion and, in a sense, to perversion, and had been disloyal to the wife of his youth. But the boy loved his dad and drags him in, into his house, but makes some internal decisions over a period of time that at some point in his life, he determines to live like his mom taught. And he didn't do this early in his life, but later. As a practical Christian, number one, trying to serve the Lord and asking for grace to do his will. And then number two, he would never cave into the enslaving power of alcohol. The boy was one Ronald Reagan. The man was his beloved father. Don't give your strength to women. Don't give your strength to wine that will take away sound judgment. There are kings who have been defeated in war because when the day of war came, they were in their cups, so to speak. They were drunk as lords, and the invading hordes came in, and their judgment was unable to compete with the battle, and so their people suffered. How many homes have been ruled by the cruel tyrant of alcohol abuse? This is what a mom says on Mother's Day. Don't give yourself to wine, son, or to women, but to the Lord, lest you drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to one who is perishing, to the man who's dying to ease his pain, or wine to the one who is in bitter distress. There are joyous moments where you can have a drink, but don't let it be the center issue in your life. They can drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. But you open your mouth. Be a man of God. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of those who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the needs of the poor and needy. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. And then, if you want to crown your life with success, do this. An excellent wife. Find the right girl. An excellent wife who can find, because she is more valuable, more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is a worker bee. She gives herself to her life with industry and with passion and to the raising of her children and to the economic benefits of a woman who works out of the home and gives wise counsel to a godly husband. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. She's wise. She's prudent. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She works. She gives her very best to her family. I see my mother at night always knitting bandages, knitting all kinds of things for people that were in need. When she worked for Navy Relief with the poor, when she works with the Red Cross, she did everything. No scripture guided her, but the Spirit of the living God who lived in her made her this way. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land because, unspoken here, he was wise enough to marry her. He was wise enough to marry her. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children on Mother's Day rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. I'll conclude with this story. It's best you see it on YouTube. It's called The Invisible Woman. A wonderful Christian lady whose name is Nicole Johnson steps up in a simple black outfit and begins to speak. She says she goes to a party, and at the party, her husband's talking to someone, and she walks up to him and says it's time to go, and he never turns. He continues to talk to the person, or she goes in a room and asks the children to turn the television down, and no one responds, and she raises her voice to demand it, and no one moves. And she says in her story, she realized why it was happening, because no one could see her. She was invisible. In essence, she didn't exist, or at least to her emotional self. This is how many mothers feel. I work, and does anyone care? Does anyone see me? Does even God see me? And so one day, a dear friend of hers gives her this giant book and talks in the inscription she writes about people who build things that only God sees the value of and the purpose and takes the long-term view. And the book is a book on the great churches or cathedrals of Europe. And she looks in this book, it's filled with color of magnificent dwellings. And yet her eyes search page after page to see that no one knows who has built these buildings. That name has perished. And yet beauty and a place for God to dwell exists somewhere. And what Miss Johnson took was the obvious implication or inference from the story that moms are building a cathedral in their homes, in their children, and yes, in their husbands. And it's not places where they will dwell. These are shrines for the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in. And this kind of thinking as an invisible woman allows her to have the antidote to her pride and to her self-centeredness, and to know, although she can never be with them and in them forever, someone greater than she has had a house prepared for himself. And she may not see it in the short term or on the night of my graduation, but my mother's prayers were answered, and I stand before you today because of the grace of God. And you are here because someone has built you to be a cathedral for the very presence and power of the Lord to dwell in. Won't you ask him to fill you with all that he is so you can be all that he wants you to be on this glorious Mother's Day? Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we admit we're sinners. Drunken and dissuaded by temptation, we have fallen and we can't get ourselves up. But we believe that you are the only one who can save us from ourselves. And because the Spirit of God is moving in our hearts, we choose to follow you. Fulfill the dream of that praying mother. Let us be a blessing and give the best gift we can to her this day, a life lived in the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Come into our lives. Make us the kind of people you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.